The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
All right, good evening. As you can tell, we've got fans in the house here at Hallis Hall at the Chicago Bears Network Studios and a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show. So pleased all of you have joined us tonight. These are United Club season ticket holders and some familiar faces here that make the trek out when we do this show live. We skipped the live version last year and glad to have you guys back. So enjoy the show tonight. Enjoy the conversation with Mark Trestman and the coordinators. Kind enough to join us as well tonight. Offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, and special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis. And Mark Trestman, good evening. Good evening, all of you guys.
Yep.
And again, everybody at home will be here till 7:30 tonight. And this afternoon, you had a chance, good 40 minutes or so, with general manager Phil Emery to break things down so far at the midpoint, something you do each and every season, the state of the franchise, so to speak. Team's definitely in a spin a bit here, and you guys outlined a bunch of steps that you're going to take here in the course of the week. Give these guys, again, just a little snippet of what you guys discussed in terms of what the week's going to be like from a coaching perspective and a player's perspective.
Sure. Obviously, the week started for us this morning with our players. We had the very difficult experience of having to watch the tape for the second week when certainly didn't perform to the standards that we'd want to perform coming out of Atlanta. So we faced the music there, all of us, coaches and players alike. Once we left that, we got with the players, spent time with them, and explained to them what the coaches were going to be doing this week, and that is to completely reevaluate and reassess everything we're doing from a player evaluation to a schematic standpoint, and that we would give our players that information during the course of the week. They would have on their iPads cut-ups, an evaluation, and some work to do, some homework to do along the way, because we're bound by the CBA to give them a straight 4 days off, covering Thursday through Sunday. So we did that. We told them to get some rest, but we also told them it wasn't a vacation that they were going on either, to sit on the couch and eat potato chips, and they know that, and they certainly knew it leaving. They need to get mentally reboot. They certainly knew that. They need to reassess and recommit to their football team, which we know they will. They need to rehab. The guys who are coming out of rehab are going to continue to rehab through the week. They're not heading to South Florida to lay around. They're going to be working to get themselves back and ready to go. They'll do that. And then we also incorporated some Packers work as well for them, because when we come back on Monday, there'll be a padded practice. There'll be a competitive padded practice. We got to get better, and the best way to get better is to compete. And we'll also spend time on Packers work, getting reacquainted with the Packers as we go into a primetime game on Sunday night next week. So there's a lot of work going on, coaches, players, doing the things that they need to do to get ready. And there's a plan in place to move forward.
And young men left to their own devices with a few days off. You'll know whether they did the work when they show up Monday and go to practice and in meetings, won't you, fellas? Anybody can jump in on this. So there's an expectation. There's expectation to help turn this around in every way possible. Aaron Cromer?
Yeah, I believe this team is built with character. It's built with guys that want to do the right thing, and they've shown that. And I think we can carry that onto the field and the second half of the season, make a push.
And scrutiny and frustration and everything that comes to it, all of you guys have been in the league a long time. You've heard all of these things before at various points of your careers and seasons. How have you respectively handled those situations in the past that you can draw from as a way to turn this thing around positively? Mel, we'll start with you.
Well, you always try to find a silver lining, if at all possible. And there's always something that you can build upon, whether it's from a coaching staff standpoint or from a player standpoint. And so I think that's what you try to do. You have to have a positive attitude moving forward. Look for solutions, and not just dwell on the problems, but look for ways to get better. And we have a coaching staff that's dedicated to doing that, and we also have players that are dedicated to doing that. And the players that we talked to today are very encouraged about what we can be in the future. as long as we do what we need to do to get things fixed, and we'll get that done.
And Joe DeCamillis, the Bears special teams coordinator, do you have anything anecdotal from your career where a situation is similar that you guys pulled out of it?
I told Mark we were 3-0 one year. We went 0-7 the next, and then we went 6-0. So streaks happen in the NFL, and I like Aaron said, I think we have the guys. I know we have the coaches. I think we have the players that are going to go and work and do everything they can to get it turned around and give Chicago what they deserve, which is a winner.
You know, mistakes, they certainly happen in games, and you'd hate to think that everything is paper thin in terms of, okay, if one mistake blossoms into trouble, like it did in the second quarter yesterday. But is that the case? I mean, can one mistake, is this an example yesterday of one mistake can blossom into several mistakes and the game can get out of hand from you?
Well, we always talk about there's a reset button when you have a bad play, and every player has that reset button. So if it's a lineman, it might be his first step. If it's a quarterback, it might be his drop or the way he's seeing the defense and so on. So the guys need to hit the reset button when there is a bad play, understand what that is for them, and move on from that play. And all it takes is one good play in a row to have a good quarter and a good series and a scoring drive. And we can do that.
It also, though, puts the focus on cleaning things up. So with half a season to go, do you impress upon your players, you know, that whatever mistakes are happening, the mental errors or whatever they are, they have to stop.
Oh, they do. I mean, this is a serious time for all of us. You asked about the previous situations. Aaron and I were involved on a Super Bowl team that lost four in a row in the month of October, and were able to find a way to get it back. And I remember how we started it through the bye week, through reassessing what we were doing, making the necessary adjustments to how we were working, whether it was through practice or whether it was in game planning. And we were able to find a way with the players who were hungry enough to get it done. This is certainly a team that, you know, has a foundation of hard work, a very good work ethic, extreme high character. And they love football. They love to work, and they love football. And so we have a foundation here with coaches that know how to work them and work them right, that we've laid a foundation for that. And the next step is to play consistent, clean football, as you said. There's been moments, but there certainly hasn't been enough moments. And the guys know this is a serious time of the year right now, that everybody's responsible for creating their own sense of personal accountability to get this done. And it starts with us right here, and we're doing that.
Injury update today before we catch traffic here. Lamar Houston is out for the season with a ruptured ACL. And Matt Slauson, the Bears starting left guard, torn pectoral muscle, so he's out for the season as well. But a bunch of guys are coming back a week from today when practice resumes here at Hallis Hall.
Jay takes here on third down. Jay sliding to his left. Jay pumps, throws into the end zone, tied up, and caught by Martellus Bennett. And it appears to be a Chicago Bears touchdown.
Yeah, it was, as the Bears get the play of the week from Martellus Bennett this week. And the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak along with head coach Mark Trestman and the coordinators Mel Tucker, Joe DeCamillis, and Aaron Cromer. We'll start with Mark on that catch. It was something. I didn't have a ton of exuberance there given the situation in the game, but that catch was pretty remarkable. He was being dragged down, caught it, and kept it, and sucked it into his belly in the end zone.
Yeah, it started with, as it always does, with protection. You know, Jay had time to settle in the pocket, find a place to go with the football. He targeted in the only place he could, and it found its way around a couple of defenders into Marty's chest, and Marty was able to hang on in a very, very contested throwing situation.
Aaron, his production in the first half of the season has been very good, among the best among tight ends in the NFL. How do you think he's come along this year?
Martellus has done something we said all along, is he's really studied how to have success in this offense, and he put a good off-season together, getting himself ready for the season. So he's fit in well. He's followed the offense, and he's allowed it to come to him. And that's what's important in any offense, is the guys do what they're supposed to do, follow the play as it's supposed to be run, and the guy that's open gets the ball, and that's what he's done this year.
Mel, Tom Brady yesterday, how would you describe what he did? Because I don't know that I've seen anything like it. He may have had three drops, so he basically completed everything.
Yeah, he was very sharp. And that's the type of player he is. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He was on top of his game. You know, we didn't do anything to slow him down.
His play action is so, I want to say severe, it's not the right word, but so distinctive. He turns his back completely to your defense, and he sells it as well as anybody in the league. From a linebacker safety point of view, how hard is that when he turns his back completely? His setup is so quick.
Right.
And then he gets rid of the ball. I went back and tried to time his release, and I got some unbelievable numbers. So I don't know what your span is in terms of what you think a pass rusher should be getting to the quarterback in, but it had to be very difficult to do that yesterday, not to absolve that, but he's unique in that regard.
Yeah, he got rid of the ball very quickly yesterday, and from a play-action standpoint, it was very effective. It starts with their offensive line, the intensity of the line and their pad level. He does a great job with the ball handling, and the backs did a good job selling it. And that's the most difficult thing for a linebacker is to recognize a play-action pass and get into a drop and be a factor in the passing game. And then from a defensive line standpoint, to convert from run to pass is also difficult, and especially when the ball's coming out quickly. So those are things we're going to have to face. We're going to be facing against Green Bay, and so we have to get better at those things.
Jody, you've talked to me quite a bit about special teams and where it's headed and how they've improved over the course of the year. Hiccup yesterday, it was right time and place, wasn't it? Field position-wise, the punt return by Julian Edelman was a 42-yarder. Everything. Those are dangerous areas on the field for those kind of punts, right?
Yeah, he's a dangerous returner, too. We were, it was a guy that we tried to cancel out. Obviously, we did not cancel him out. It all works together. You got to have the direction, you got to have the hang, you got to have the coverage all in the same play, and we didn't get all three of those things on that same play. And it's unfortunate because, we could have flipped the field and got it taken care of, and we just didn't do it there. But guys are working on it, and they'll do it.
It's 6:46. We're here with the United Club season ticket holders here, kind enough to join us tonight, live here at Hallis Hall. We're with you until 7:30 tonight. A couple of more questions before another check of traffic and weather together on the 8s. In terms, Aaron, of the running game, you wanted to establish it. It was a big point of discussion over the course of the game. Game got away, obviously, but still 19 carries for Matt Forte. Is the model what you guys would like? Is it buried in the game against Green Bay? While that was a loss, the type of runs you had, the explosiveness you showed with those backs and the type of runs, is that what the plan moving forward? Is that a symbol of what you'd like?
Yeah, anytime we can stay on schedule in a game, our plan is to keep good balance between run and pass. And you alluded to it earlier with the play-action pass being a complement to that. And we talked about last week about the third quarter having coming out and doing a good job in the third quarter of getting the drive going of run, pass, play action, and moving the ball down the field to score. And that was our goal yesterday, and it did get out of hand before, as we were getting into that plan. And we ran the ball well early, and we continued on it later, and we just have to keep it going. And that's the plan going forward. And if we get down by... If we happen to get down, we have to, stay with the plan.
Play clock to one. Jay takes the snap looking left. Jay now has to check somewhere else. Finds Forte over the shoulder inside the five. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
And Matt Forte, the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Back at Hallis Hall, here at the Bears Coaches Show in the Chicago Bears Network Studios, and brought to you by McDonald's. Matt Forte, 168 yards of total offense, another touchdown catch, as you heard right there. 58 catches in 8 games. That is an NFL record for the 8 games by an NFL running back. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but that's some sort of – anytime you break an NFL record – you're doing something special, and he's done a lot of that. And the numbers keep adding up, Mark Trestman. He is every week there's something new. And what I appreciated about him from my perspective yesterday was, at that point in the game, and you mentioned it even in your post game and at halftime, you were looking for the fight and the dog. You were looking for the fight at the end of the game given the scenario, and I think he had the fight all the way to the end.
Yeah, Matt is one of the great leaders on our football team. He is the same guy every single day, even-keeled, common sense, incredibly smart and football intelligent. And the thing about Matt's productivity, he's not doing anything but doing his job. It's not like we call these passes and he's the primary guy on any of these plays. He's just always where he's supposed to be. And I thought he did an excellent job yesterday. I think Aaron would agree, just running the football, physically running the football, and taking it. He really used another gear that we may not have seen a lot of this year. He went to another gear in a couple of runs. So I'll let Aaron, you know, add to that. But he's a very impressive man.
Yeah, Matt has done a good job this year when he got the opportunity to run the football, of hitting the hole aggressively, but mostly in these last, since the Green Bay game, he's really amped it up and has been a violent runner to finish. You know, and defenses always talk about falling forward for two, and so you get three and you fall forward for two more and you have a 5-yard run and you feel good about a 5-yard run. So he's done that, and we look for him to continue to do that.
He leads the NFL in yards after catch, in addition to being now second in the NFL in receptions overall. I think Antonio Brown's number one now at 60. But the other aspect of that, he takes his hits, and I asked him a couple weeks ago, you know, if those hits were vicious, because they look like it. And he says, I've learned how to absorb those hits. But some of those hits yesterday came from a 270-pound linebacker in Dante Hightower, which I didn't really realize he was that big of a guy. But do you see that? Do you teach that? Do you teach him ways to, while you know you're going to get knocked, how to absorb those hits without suffering damage?
You know, running backs learn that on their own after they run in square into a guy a couple times. They realize they need to pick a soft shoulder. But we talk about a lot of gaining the extra yard, of if the guy's overrunning you, hitting the backside soft shoulder, or if he's trying to go down to cut you, you know, to get as low as that guy is. And so it's something that you can't get done in practice is the problem, because you don't want to tackle your running back over and over in practice. So he just has to have that awareness. And Matt's he's a smart football player, and he's a smart person. So he understands it, and he's done a good job lately.
And the only player in franchise history to have seven consecutive in each of his 7 years in the NFL over 1,000 yards and yard from scrimmage. So he keeps digging into the math. Joe D., it was windy yesterday. Patrick O'Donnell, a little nip in the air, but not quite what he's going to experience here in the days and weeks to come. From your scouting of him, when you brought, how do you think he'll handle the elements when they really start to get ugly?
I think he'll do well. You know, he was at Cincinnati before he was at Miami, so we saw that on tape, in the college tape. He struggled yesterday, obviously. He did not have a great day, and he'd be the first to tell you that. So, you know, it's something that we got to build from and build on and know why he didn't, and identify it and get better from there, because it was windy. It was big time windy.
Did he share with you, you know, why? Was that part of it? Was that part of adjusting to that and maybe trying to battle it, that it caused him to have some mishits?
Yeah, he talked about it a little bit with me. He's a very communicative kid. I mean, he does do a good job as far as that goes, but I think it'll be something that he'll learn from, and he'll get better the next time we're in that situation.
Mel, Coach talked about putting things on the iPad for the players, including, you know, cut-ups of what's happened and what happened in the New England game, and then an opportunity for feedback from the players. How much feedback do you get from your players after a game like yesterday?
We get a lot of feedback from them, because we're really close with those guys.
And, good and bad, I'm certain.
Yeah, I mean, it's constant. I mean, it's day in and day out. We're always talking back and forth with our guys, and you know, we have open door policies with them, and they're comfortable, you know, talking to us and being honest with us about what they think and what they see, and we do the same things with them, and so it was no different today.
Are there things that you know that they can do that maybe they don't believe they can do, and vice versa? Do they ever say, you know what, I just can't do that?
Yeah, every now and then they'll say, hey, you know, they'll say, hey, I think I can get it done this way. And then we'll talk about it, and we'll make those adjustments to put them in a better position to make plays, because, you know, everyone's not the same. And so you have to make adjustments and do what your players can do. And so we're committed to doing that for these guys.
And does that give them some ownership as well? And maybe they work differently if they have that feedback.
Well, lots of times if a player tells you, if you let me do it this way, coach, I can get it done, they typically get it done.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, and special teams coordinator and assistant head coach Joe DeCamillis. brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show, live studio audience here at Chicago Bears Network Studios. And these are United Club season ticket holders, and we love having them here. Bears hit the bye week, and a lot of work to do to turn things around, but they're digging in. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petruni, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Back to our conversation, Mark, Jermon Bushrod on our postgame show yesterday, right off the field. Fresh right after the game ends, basically wound up everything by saying everybody must buy in on this football team. And it's a snapshot of a larger picture, because one of the team leaders to say that the second half of the season requires full commitment. Not that it didn't in the first half, but that's where you're at. Those are big, important words. Just like Jay Cutler saying yesterday also on our show, that we got to decide what we want to be as a team. And this is where we have to find out right now. This is when our backs are against the wall. Those two guys saying that, is that put in context with what you're basically asking of these fellas?
I think, how we start is critically important, but how we're going to finish is how we're going to be remembered as a 2014 Bears. So it's all out in front of us right now. And we started today. Today's all we could do today to put everything into position to move forward. And we got a proactive plan to get it done. And the only way to do it is to try to execute it on a daily basis. That's what we're going to do. And as I said, we didn't start the way we wanted, no doubt about it. But I think that how we'll be remembered is how we finish this thing.
And Mel Tucker, Jared Allen comment yesterday was, I need to find a half a step during the bye week. He was getting in the vicinity of Tom Brady. There were times he actually grabbed him and took him down. Even one time he was almost bear-hugging the guy in front of him, working his way to the quarterback, and he yanked him down just as he got rid of the football. Overall, how do you think he's done this season, and does he have to find a half a step?
Well, if Jared says he needs to find half a step, he'll find it. That's the type of guy he is, and he's done a nice job for us coming in. First and foremost, from a leadership standpoint, he's a real pro. He brings a lot to us. Just as a veteran guy that knows how to work, he's a great example for our younger players. I think he's been better than advertising the run game, and I think he'll be the first to tell you that. Excellent footwork, great pad level, very, very dependable, very productive in the run game, and he's really, really close in the pass rush. He always applies pressure in the rush. He may not always get the quarterback hit or the sack, but he's applying enough pressure where it's allowing other guys to get sacks and quarterback hits. And so, his moments are going to come, and he's going to continue to work at it, and I'm glad we got him.
Jody, Tom Thayer, my broadcast partner, we were watching the Packer game on the flight home last night, as well as our own tape of our game, but we still don't like the way the rules have changed now with the kick return game, a lot of touchbacks. But because of the win yesterday, there were opportunities. How did you evaluate that? And is the blocking coming along? It's not just the returner. He gets all the attention, but how's the blocking?
Well, first of all, I thought Chris did a really good job of hitting it yesterday. I think he's getting more comfortable. He had the good week the week before Miami, against Miami. And to be quite frank with you, we had about three of them yesterday that were one block away from getting some real yardage. So New England did a nice job of beating us a couple times with Matt Slater, who's, a pro bowler and a great
player. One of the
player.
Best, isn't he?
In my opinion right now, he might be the best one going. I mean, he's got an unbelievable motor in finishing the play. But, we'll keep working on it. And like you said, the great thing about it is it's going to get colder. The ball's not going to fly as far. We're going to get more returns. And I'm like you. I hate the rule, too. So I'm with you on
that. You guys agree? Yeah.
The Bears Coaches Show with Mark Trestman, Mel Tucker, Joe DeCamillis, Aaron Cromer, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
And welcome back here to the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall. We've got United Club seat holders with us. And a lively crowd. We're having a good time here tonight as we hit the bye week and get ready for the Green Bay Packers a week from Sunday night. Coach Trestman, you at training camp in your introductory news conference said something very interesting that I think people just thought may have just been words, because you mentioned that whatever happened last year, specifically offensively, would not guarantee you anything this year. And certainly that has been the case as teams adjust and you adjust accordingly. You had a pretty good feeling about that. Why? Why did you make that a point, really, in your introductory news conference for the 2014 season?
Well, that's because
that's, football,
that's right? How our players approached it as well, and how we do. We know we have to start over. We start with this is a football, and we work our way into the more detailed science of the game. That's what we do each and every year. And you know, past performance is never a guarantee of future success. You got to make your own success each and every year. And again, we haven't started the way we finished. No doubt about it, but we started in a separate environment, a new season. It's not over. We're not happy about where we are in terms of our production. There's some signals that we can be very good. We've seen that. And again, it goes back to what I said, Jeff, is that there's no guarantees. We got to go out there every day and work to become the best offense and certainly the best football team that we can. And that's where we are.
Aaron Cromer, offensive line, was something you can count on in terms of health last year. It's an aberration in the league, really. It doesn't happen often. So here you have the Green Bay game. It looks like you have a sixth different combination potentially in the first nine games of the season with the loss of Matt Slauson. Obviously, he's had a rough time this year. I know it kills him. That's a guy you don't want on the sidelines because you'll hear about it. You've mentioned it many times before. He doesn't like being sidelined. No offensive lineman does. There's going to be opportunities to take a look. Mark indicated today that several options are on the table, including the potential of Jordan Mills moving from right tackle to guard. What do you think about that, and what do you see in him that he could potentially do that job?
Well, the first thing we see, you know, we feel bad for Matt Slauson because he's done everything right. He's worked hard in the offseason. He comes back and he gets an ankle injury, and that puts him out. And then he spent day and night working on that ankle to a degree where we're trying to meet, and he's back working on his ankle in the back of the meeting room, and we're trying, and he's got, it just drives him crazy when he can't play, and the same thing when Garza was out. And these guys love football. They love to be a part of that five-man group. They don't want to let anybody down, and so it's a passionate group that does, that hurts when they can't play, and it hurts their friends and their family that they consider in that room. And you know, as far as alternatives and where we'll go from here, you know, we have options. Brian De La Puente played well at center, and he's played guard in the past. And Michael Ola has already stepped in and done a nice job at left guard when Matt was out earlier in the season. So we have those options. We'll see how Jordan feels. You know, obviously he was out last week, and we'll see how he feels after the bye as he continues to try to get himself healthy, and we'll use the best option possible. And we feel like Michael Ola will do a good job at either position. We feel like Jordan Mills will do the same. Both of those guys are good athletes with good anchors, which we like to keep, you know, defenders as far away from Jay as possible when we throw. And both those guys can do that, and as well as Brian De La Puente. So we have some options, and it's killing us that these guys are getting hurt, you know, as far as just for them, for their well-being, and we'll put the next guy in like we've been doing, and we'll expect production.
Mel, he's always talking about, and every coach talks about next guy up, but in yesterday's game when Kyle Fuller had to leave, and he's had just a few snaps, but he's a young man of 21 years of age from Boston College. He's working in his area of Boston, Brockton, Massachusetts. He's on the field against Tom Brady, who's on fire like he hasn't been on fire in months. And he's got to play that position. Al Lewis, Gene, what did he experience yesterday? And how'd you try to help him? That's a tough situation.
Yeah, I thought he did a nice job in terms of you know, his approach. He was aggressive. He went up and challenged guys, and he tackled well when he had those opportunities. He cracked replacing the run game for us, and he knows that we have confidence in him. And I think that goes a long way with the players when they know that you believe in them. They get the job done. And he's gotten a little bit of playing time the past couple of games. He's been in there. And we told him that at some point your day is going to come. and we won't hesitate to push in there, and that's what we did, and he did the best that he could do, and we need to build on that and look to find ways to get him better. We'll do that.
It was the accuracy of Brady was such that do you tell a young player in that situation, just hang on for dear life, try and make the best of it as you can, because everything was completed.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, we were telling him to go make some plays is what we were telling him. And he was trying to do that. And so, but you can't get discouraged. I mean, he's a young player, and, he's going to take his lumps. But, at the end of the day, he's going to win his fair share of battles, too.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and all three coordinators continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
And welcome back to the Chicago Bears Network studios here on the Bears Coaches Show. Brought to you by McDonald's. You hear the crowd. United Club season ticket holders enjoying the show tonight as the Bears work on getting better in the second half of the season. And we're with the three coordinators. I'll start this segment with Joe DeCamillis because earlier today, General Manager Phil Emery was asked about having a younger group of guys on special teams and as a necessity to grow players. So they're the seeds that you're working with, and hopefully they'll bloom into something special down the road. There's a lot of guys in that unit people don't know about that are really good athletes with a lot of speed. That's the good news on that unit. Now it's just going to take some time to get them all together. Who are some guys that people should be aware of? I know you don't want to single out too many, individuals on this team. It is a team, but, a guy like, for example, Teddy Williams, fast, unique way to get to the National Football League. Cornelius Washington, who is a defensive end by trade, but getting some really significant work on special teams. I'm sure I'm missing a couple of guys that you're circling as well.
Yeah, like you said, both those guys are definitely young players that have speed and have athleticism. And hopefully we can get them, to the next level. And I'm glad that we get a chance to develop those guys. And that's a place that really in the NFL, that's how they get to be a player. I mean, Mark's going to have more confidence in him. Mel's going to have more confidence in him when they excel for us on Sundays on teams. So it's a good opportunity. Now, at times it's challenging, no question, because you have younger guys that aren't experienced and they're not seeing things always the same way that you'd like them to, but I'm pleased with where the group's at. I think they're getting better. We got to amp it up in the next eight games, and the getting better needs to get going right now.
Mark, Brandon Marshall, right now the lowest catch percentage in his career. He's getting about eight targets a game. A lot of that had to do with his ankle injury, and we've talked a lot about working his way through that. He did a huge game against San Francisco. Where do you think he's at physically?
I think he's getting better. I think this is this bye comes at a great time for him. He'll have a chance to really, do his rehab. Like I said, Brandon's in the building early in the morning every day doing everything he can to get himself ready for practice and do the right thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he comes out of this next week. I know he's as hyper-competitive players we have on this football team, and I'm looking forward to see where he takes this thing individually over the next 8 weeks. I know he's all in, and he's worked real hard to try to bring himself back.
Aaron, the focus on first down is something sometimes absent from those who evaluate the game, but it's a significant down in terms of production. Right now, your rushing offense on first down is 4.89 a carry. That's eighth best in the National Football League. A year ago, it was 4.78. That was eighth in the league. And 52% of your runs are gaining 4 yards or more on first down. So that's good production. Do you just want to increase that attempt number to get more out of that first down? Passing offense on first down, also very good. Top 10 in the league, number 4 in terms of throwing it on first down overall. So that's where some of the balance conversation comes in also?
Yeah, as we continue to talk about balance, that's where it starts. And like you said, throwing and passing on first down as we've had success. We need to move the chains on third down. We've been up and down in that area, and we need to do a better job with that. So we got to keep drives alive, and we will. We need to score. We need to kick a field goal. We need to score a touchdown. We feel very capable of scoring when we get the football, wherever we get it. And percentages say the further away you get it, the less chance you have, And you have to have a mindset offensively that wherever you get it, you're going to find a way to put it in the end zone. And when you get that killer instinct, if you want to call it that, by 11 guys, you know, that's when you really get things moving. And we have shown some signs of that. And obviously, last year we showed a little bit more. And that's where we have to get to.
Mel Tucker, what was your conversation with Lamar Houston?
Well, we talked to Lamar today. He came into the staff room, and you know, he expressed his disappointment. Obviously, I think we kind of just cut him off at that point. You know, we really just told him, say, hey, listen, you don't have to say anything else. We understand how you feel. We feel for you. We're going to support you 100%. We got your back. You know, we love you, we care about you, and that's never going to change, and we'll get through it. That's what we told him.
How does that affect your rotation, and who might be some of the options to move into that rotation?
Well, you know, it's next man up, like we always talk about. You look at guys like Cornelius Washington and Trevor Scott. You never know, we might have maybe a guy on the practice squad that may get an opportunity because of that. We'll see, but you know, we have guys that we feel like can step up and make plays for us at that position. So we'll take a look at them.
Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. We've got just about a minute to go, so if I'll just go down the line here, because while the week of work will get underway and you guys are digging in to figure out what's next, the Green Bay Packers loom again. We know what happened at Soldier Field. You'll have time to prepare for the Green, like they will have time to prepare for you. Quick thoughts on what you learned from the last game that will impact this one and moving forward. We'll start with Coach Trestman.
Well, we just got into it today, so we're kind of just you know, rebooting our heads into Green Bay. We're still, you know, in this evaluation process, but you know, we did some good things against Green Bay. Obviously, we got to stop Aaron Rodgers. That's where it all starts, and we got to play the 36-minute rule game and stay on the field. And we know we can run the ball and against Green Bay, we'll have to do that again and continue to mix in our passing game.
All right, I lied. We're out of time. I can't get all you guys to comment. We got things to take care of. For Bears head coach Mark Trestman and offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, and special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis, I'm Jeff Joniak, and that'll wrap up this week's Bears Coaches Show. Thanks to Greg Miller, Paul Zerang, our engineer, Andy Gersher, our studio producer, and Catherine Catalane back at the ranch. On News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.